tell you a secret?
Sure, man.
I see dead people.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to Filmmaking A for Pussies. That clip you heard was Sean Wayans in Scary Movie. Hope y'all had a great week. Springtime is just around the corner. Oh, thank God. But it's still raining in SoCal. For the last month, it's like every week there has been rain. Ugh. All right, let's get into the show. You know, this season has been about production. And last couple episodes, I told you how I screwed up on the hike, and I still have some more screw-ups to come. But let's take a break today from the screw-ups. In some of your emails, you've been asking about shots and camera movement during production. All right, let's address that. Let's go back to pre-production. Pre-production is where you create your shot list, and you go over it with your DP, director of photography. When you come up with a shot list in pre-production, one important aspect that I don't think I touched on is in your shot list, if you have camera movement, some of the shots that you come up with are going to dictate the equipment you're going to need. So we had a big jib arm and we had a dolly, and our DP handheld unless if the camera was on the dolly or on the jib. It's interesting to me. So many TV series, so many are handheld. And back in the day, it was all about Steadicam. You didn't want to see a camera that was shaking. So these DPs would put on a vest, and the camera would be attached to this vest, and they could run, and the camera would be so smooth. But now, I think if you're a Steadicam operator, you're out of work. I mean, it's all handheld. Our DP decided to handhold. We had a discussion about it. It's like, look, Steadicam? He said, no, I can handhold. I said, okay, save me some money. Pre-production, you know, when you have to get all your equipment together and you have to figure out what kind of equipment you have on hand and what kind of equipment you're going to have to rent, the shot list that you come up with the DP will be the blueprint for all the equipment that you're going to have to rent. Beg, borrow, steal, whatever. You can call some shots conventions. Some shots are very conventional when it comes to making a movie. Instead of film conventions or conventional shots or conventional camera moves, I like to look at it as a language, a film language. Think about it. Language is a way to communicate. Without language, how would people or animals or whatever communicate? It's using language. So when the camera looks down on a character, looks up on a character, pushes in on a character, pulls out on a character, that's a language. That move communicates certain emotions to you as the viewer. Because what the camera does is manipulate you as an audience member. It can push you in one direction or another as far as your feelings for a character or your feelings towards the story. When it comes to shots, some of the conventions are comedy is full of medium shots, waist up, middle of the chest to the waist up. A medium shot is waist up, but you can tinker with it a little bit and lift it up a little bit closer to the chest. Drama, lots of close-ups in drama. You don't necessarily use close-ups in comedy unless if you're spoofing, like Airplane or Scary Movie. You know, if you're going to spoof dramas, then you can use the close-up. Like I said, these are just conventions. Those are typical shots that you'll see in those typical genres. Another convention or another film language shot is the slight tilt up or the slight tilt down on a character. When the camera is angled slightly, looking up at a character, that gives that character power, respect. That character is superior, superior in every way. Now, if you're on a character and you tilt down slightly, So you're slightly above the character, tilting down, and that character feels inferior, not superior, inferior, small, weak, flawed, damaged. Personally, I'm not here to talk to you about shots because that is up to you. You're the painter. You decide what colors to use, what brush to use. You don't want to copy other people's movies. You want your movie to be a representation of you and your artistry. You want your movie to be your brand. Think of all the great directors, how they have a style. And that style is more or less their brand. And more often than not, when all these A-list directors shy away from their brand or their style and they try something different, a lot of times it doesn't work. I'll give you a great example. I've seen all of Scorsese's movies. Age of Innocence with Daniel Day-Lewis. It's a period piece. Scorsese's style did not work in that movie. The performances are great, but his style with camera shots and camera movements just didn't resonate in that particular film. The bottom line is, look, I'm not going to tell you what shots to use in your film. That is entirely up to you. I did ask you to use drone shots because drone shots give you that high production value that you're looking for. Nowadays, camera movement's very important, shot to shot. Very seldom do you see in today's movies a static camera. Now, when it lands on the subject, it'll stay static, but the beginning of a shot or the end of a shot, look and see what the camera is doing. That's another aspect of filmmaking that I cannot preach to you enough about, is you've got to watch movies. Yeah, if you'd like to recreate the film school environment, watch a movie every single night of the week. 7 days a week, there were movies being screened in the evenings. Some of them were required and some of them were highly recommended. And some educators at the film school would kind of nudge you and highly recommend you see certain movies, i.e. the next time you went to class, there would be a pop quiz about a certain movie on a certain night. Just watch as many movies as you can. And the thing about it is, if you're going to be a filmmaker, you can do one of two things. You can either watch a movie for the very first time and just try to follow the story. Let yourself go into the story. Give yourself over to the storytelling. Then the second time you watch it, look at the shot selection. Concentrate on performances. Listen to the score. Dissect the movie on viewing number two or number three or number four. Or you can vice versa it. Very first viewing, you know, just don't care about the story. Just watch the director work his magic or her magic. Look at what's going on in the movie and how the shot selection enhances the feeling, the emotion of that moment. Another quick convention is push in, pull out. When a camera moves into a character, what does that do to your emotions and your feelings as an audience member? What is that telling you story-wise or where the character is at in the character's head? And then when the camera pulls out, see, camera moves affect the emotions of the viewer. And when you use camera moves in a wonderful way, you'll have the audience eating out of the palm of your hand. They'll be on the edge of their seats, eagerly awaiting the next scene. So during the production aspect of this podcast, I'm not going to tell you what shots to use and what shots not to use. I can't do that because I don't know your story. And even if I did know your story, I wouldn't do that. That's all up to you. You know, this podcast, I'm trying to tell you how an ordinary dude like me with a little money to blow can make a feature film and can make an award-winning feature film. From the outside looking in, everybody thinks it's like magic. You're like a magician to pull it off. Or you can't do a movie all by yourself. Well, that's true. You can't do a movie all by yourself. You need a lot of help. You need a lot of collaborators. But you can wear all the hats and you can make all the decisions and come out the other side with an amazing film. And the birth of this podcast was to pass that information along to you. And what I've tried to do is pass along all the things that you need to be aware of if you decide to jump into the water and make a feature film. So make it your own. And probably the most important thing I can tell you in the history of this podcast is to not be predictable. If you're sitting down this year in 2024 to write your first screenplay, second screenplay, third screenplay, 100th screenplay, make it as unpredictable as you can. When you're typing and you're writing your screenplay and your character gets into a situation and you can go route A or you can go route B, stop and think for a second about films that you've seen, about conventions, about stereotypes. Where have you seen this kind of a scene before? And where did it go? Route A or route B? Well, if the answer to that question is, well, they all went route A, then go route B and see where it takes you. When you get into pre-production and you're thinking about your shots, don't be predictable. If you have a couple and they're in the bedroom and they're in an argument, one of the characters is pacing back and forth, you don't have to put the camera in the room with the couple that's fighting. You can put the camera outside the door and let the characters walk in and out of frame. Put the camera on sticks, tripod, sticks. Put the camera on sticks in the hallway outside the bedroom. And then have the actors go from right to left to right, maybe get into the doorway and stop, and then move off. The actors are moving, the camera won't have to move. You're still going to have the audience on the edge of their seat because they want to see, they want to hear what's going on in there. You see shots like that done in movies. Not often enough for me, because typically, you know, an amateurish director is going to put the camera in the room with the fighting characters. That would be the cliched way to do it, the way everyone does it. Another option, don't put the camera on a tripod. Put it on a dolly and push in or pull out very slowly for the entire argument. Think outside the box. Don't be predictable. I want to give you a couple of examples of just mind-blowing unpredictability that I've seen in the last couple of weeks. If you have a chance, look at these two examples I'm going to give you and think about the unpredictability in the writing and the directing. And you know what? Part of directing is lighting. So play with lighting too. Don't be predictable with lighting. And in these two examples I'm going to give you, look at the lighting. It is unpredictable. It's not cliched in any way whatsoever. The first example is Succession. Now, I came to Succession late. Within the last year, I started with Succession because these performers, these actors keep winning awards and the show keeps winning awards. And I knew about it, but I just kind of wasn't that interested in it till a buddy of mine in Atlanta, my actor friend that I've known since film school, he turned me on to it. Ah, what an amazing show. The specific episode, it's season 4, the last season. It's episode 3, I believe, Connor's Wedding. And this particular episode was directed by Mark Mylod, M-Y-L-O-D. I wish I could talk about it, but I really don't want to spoil it for those of you who have found Succession and you haven't got that far yet, because there's major spoilers going on in this episode. Oh, man. What an hour of television. Look at the way the direction is handled in this episode. The shot selection and the lighting. Wow. That's all I can say. And if you've seen the episode and you know what I'm talking about, you're probably saying, yeah, Dave, you preach, Dave. That was awesome. Just jaw-droppingly good. The other example is a movie. It's available to stream. I brought up the film in a previous episode. Saltburn, female director, who is amazing. Emerald Fennell, or Fennell. I still don't know how to pronounce her last name. If one of you guys know how to pronounce her last name, would you please send me an email, dave@thehikemovie.net. Is it Fennell or Fennell? That entire movie is unpredictable. The shots are unpredictable. The performances are unpredictable. It's a story that's been told a number of times. I think most recently, maybe The Talented Mr. Ripley with Matt Damon. But wow, what a ride. Believe me when I tell you, the last 4 minutes of this movie you have never seen and you will probably never, ever see again. It's that special. It's that original. It's that brave. If you have not seen Saltburn, please watch Saltburn. Two great examples of unpredictability as far as directing goes. If you get a chance, please check those out. And you can even watch the Succession episode without having any knowledge of Succession. Go to Max or HBO, click on Succession, click on season 4. I think it's episode 3, Connor's Wedding. Just watch it. A standalone, you don't have to have any backstory. Just watch it and look at the direction and the shot selection. That's all I ask. And then you will understand why it's a great example of unpredictability, as opposed to what 8 out of 10 directors would do, or even 9 out of 10 directors would do, given that material. You know, when it comes to being a director, what I say at the end of every podcast is so applicable to you. Sheep are followers. All sheep do is follow other sheep. Lions don't follow other lions. They make their own way. They are the kings of their domain. And that's what you need to be as a filmmaker. All right, let's get out of here. I think next episode we will touch on another screw up on my part while making the hike. Oh, I've got some more to tell you. And they just get better and better. All right, y'all have a great week. Please don't be a sheep. Be a lion. Later.